goes back to back to back and makes NASCAR history at Circuit of the Americas. That's our top story. Hi, I'm Doug Rice, and I'll be joined on this edition of Fast Talk by Kyle Petty and Alexis Erickson.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Thrilled to be with you here on the Performance Racing Network for the latest edition of Fast Talk, post Circuit of the Americas. Let's hop in the Wayback Machine and listen to the last few calls of yesterday's race in Austin.
It has been a fantastic afternoon for driver number 45 off of turn number 19. He heads to turn 20 for the final time today.
His car owner, Michael Jordan, pulled off a pair of three-peats in his legendary NBA career. Today, 2311 is going to do it as a NASCAR team. Tyler Reddick races his way into the history books. He wins at Circuit of the Americas, becoming the first driver in the 78-year history of NASCAR to open a season winning back-to-back races. Three straight for Tyler Reddick. He gets it done here at Austin, Texas.
So Tyler Reddick drives into the history books, winning the first three races of the season. We'll talk more about the significance of that and the fact that all the legends of the game have never done that. Let's hear from Tyler in Victory Lane.
I never won back-to-back in my NASCAR career. I don't know how many times I've won three in a row as a racer in general in my lifetime, so just super pumped. I mean, this is what it's all about. We work so hard to turn the corner and make 2026 a good year, you know, and we learned a lot from 2025. And just, yeah, to be able to get my second win here, to the race go the way that it did, to have to hold off Shane and get this win, just we'll just keep going as long as we can. We'll try to go to Phoenix and make it four.
I've got to think maybe the guys over with the Jimmy Johnson 48 team say, yeah, our T-shirts say back to back to back to back to back.
To back, yeah. Yeah.
So we're not impressed with your triple
yes,
P.
Yes, true.
Alexis, I had no imagination at all when the season started that we'd be sitting here after race three talking about the new king of the game right now and Tyler Reddick and pulling off a historic moment.
That would make two of us, yeah. For sure. Probably three of us if we ask Kyle too. Because,
yes.
I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. And Doug, you and I talked about this a little bit before the show, but just the amount of luck, okay, that has to go into being in position for the first two races of the season at the end when it matters. Daytona, a super speedway. Atlanta, a super speedway. That type of racing, to be able to get through all of the carnage and chaos and be there at the end 2 weeks in a row is impressive. And then to go out and do it in the fashion that he did at COTA. Now, don't get me wrong. We all know Tyler Reddick is very good at COTA.
Yeah.
And this is actually another stat because we'll be throwing out a lot of them today. The first time he's ever won twice at the same racetrack. So he has 11
wow.
wins, 10 of them on, you know, different speedways and two at Austin. So, you know, we know he's good there, but SVG was the, you know, 800-pound gorilla in the room, and everybody thought it was going to be him, especially when he went and took the win on Saturday in the O'Reilly series, and we just thought, well, I don't know if you can do it because not the luck that's involved in a Daytona or an Atlanta, but the SVG factor, and he did it, and not only did he did it in such convincing fashion, holding SVG off in the waning laps of the race to finish like 4 seconds ahead. So, you know, it was impressive to me.
Yeah, it was. Listen, I thought Atlanta was impressive to win a race at a speedway aero track without a right front fender. You know what I mean? So I thought that was impressive when you got to that. But this and I was impressed with SVG too, because he said that he didn't say, well, his car was better, his car was faster, he did this or that. He said Tyler drove immaculate. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? Here's SVG lifting high praise to what Tyler did, saying that he just got beat. He just got out, drove, and got beat. Not that SVG lost the race. Tyler won the race, which is impressive. And I think Tyler talked about it after in some of his post-race interviews, how much work that he, as a driver, had put into road course racing. But then when SVG came along, they realized they weren't even in the game. They weren't even in the game, and how much work he's had to put in to get back to where he's at. And I think he credited SVG with how cup racing on road courses, how competitive it is today.
Don't both of you think, though, that this adds credibility to Reddick's win? SVG didn't break. He didn't finish 35th because they snapped an axle or had a flat tire. SVG was operating at prime form and had his opportunities to go up and get him and gave it his best shot and came up short.
I think it's the perfect storyline for the third win, for the historic third win, because it's not that everybody got in a massive crash on lap two and he didn't have anybody to race against. Everybody was still in the game. Everybody that challenged him, whether you look at Blaney that came up there and challenged, whether you look at Briscoe that challenged, you know, Briscoe led the first laps. You know, he sets on the pole, but he doesn't lead. He drops back to seventh or eighth or ninth or wherever in that first segment. It looks like he's fading fast. Whatever adjustment he made, he came back. But I think it solidifies and adds huge credits and just carves it in granite to say he won this race. He didn't fall into this one.
Three in a row, the massive lead we were kind of joking about that he's already generated, Alexis. It's incredible. We joked when they changed the new point system saying, you know, we may have a winner with 3 weeks to go. We may have a new champion with 3 months to go.
Yeah, I mean, you guys joked about it too, you know, before the show started about him just completely obliterating the bell curve because he is so far. I mean, and you know, when they went to this new format, the Chase, new old format, however you want to talk about it, you know, people said, oh, well, there won't be as much of an emphasis on winning. He's proving everybody wrong because he's got those 45 bonus points from winning those first three races, 15 bonus points for each race. And that in itself, I mean, is such a huge gap to have. And then add all the other points he's accumulated on top of that. Like he has earned himself opportunities in the coming weeks, which will happen. It happens to everybody. He's not going to win every race, to have some mulligans and still be quite all right.
Yeah. And I think the new system, or the system, the new old system, and that's a great way to put it. I think it's changed the way, it's changing the way, and we saw it yesterday more so than any other time. And we're probably going to see it play out more and more. We saw Shane. We saw Shane win the second segment, run second in the second segment, win the first. I don't know how it worked. I can't remember, but got 18, 19 points. We saw Ty Gibbs stay out and win a segment and do some stuff. These guys, okay, I'm going to say these teams that don't have a shot to win every single week, they're not winning teams 36 times a year, like a Hendrick, like a Gibbs, like a Penske. As you look at these teams, they're going to gather points and steal points wherever they can. And if you can go to a road course and you know the guys that are running for the win are going to pit and leave you up there, you're going to steal those points. And you're going to take those 18 or 20 points. And especially when you had a bad Daytona or a bad Atlanta and you need to get back in the game, some of these guys got back in the game a little bit for that 16th position. I'm not saying for a championship, but they're getting back in the game.
It hasn't taken long, Alexis, for us to see a direct impact of the new point system on how the races play out. To what Kyle was saying, teams that before would have done one thing are now reacting another. And they're grabbing the biscuits off the table when they can.
Well, I mean, yeah, because you think about how it used to be, you know, last year and years prior to that, a win was everything.
Yes.
You win and you're in. And the way you race when you're only racing to win is way different than the way you race when you're racing to gather as many points as you possibly can. And so it's only inevitable that it's going to change the way that drivers race, especially ones that aren't sure that they can get that win, that they can get that extra 15 bonus points here or there. Drivers that, you know, would bank on just that super speedway win or, you know, or even, you know, potentially a road course strategy type win. They are now thinking, okay, well, we've got to get these stage points and we got to get them in every way we can. And a lot of times when you race to win stages or to get stage points, the strategy does not work out for you to be there at the end when it's time to win. So you have to kind of pick and choose
Yeah, you do have to, and it's just a different way of racing the system. Just like when we used to have starting parks and everybody complained, a different way of gaming the system and getting ahead. I'm just going to give you a Richard Petty quote. We had this conversation when some of this stuff come out and all this stuff. He's like, yeah, I know, we're going back to points. And he said, but remember, points only last 1 year, a win lasts forever. And I'm like, okay, that's a great way to put it. That is a great way to put it. When you can get the win, get the freaking win.
Yeah.
Leave the points on the table. Get the win because the win lasts forever.
Yeah, you don't hear, you know, historians or pundits like us talking about at the end of somebody's career where they had 500,720 points over their career. That's not what happens.
That may be a new NASCAR statistic.
It might be.
Let's bring that back down. You know what I mean? This guy scored more points. Because I saw today is the anniversary of Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain scoring 100 points in a single game. So points do matter.
I mean, they do. But
thought I'd throw that out there to you.
I appreciate that. That's significant. I always think about you and the rage you went on last year when we were doing the top 20 tracker for Chase Elliott.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
The rage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, listen, hold it. Yesterday, I'm listening to the race, and somebody said, he's going to have a solid top 25. There's 38 cars in the field. What's a solid top 25? I don't know what that is. You know what I mean? That's like he runs seventh in a 10-man race. Yes, I got it.
Sometimes I think we're Kyle's own personal rage room here.
You are. Y'all let me vent. This is where I vent, and these padded walls is where I vent.
Well, we've got at least another 50 minutes of venting left, folks. Coming up, we will have the Toyota Performance Report. And is the Big Three on the verge of becoming the Big Four? We'll chat about that next here on Fast Talk.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Let's climb in the cockpit.
Drag him up.
Pull those belts tight one more time. Grab the wheel and hold on as we prepare to take the green flag on a new year in the NASCAR universe.
The next chapter of American stock car auto racing is being etched as we speak, with new twists and turns.
White flag in the air for Denny Hamlin as he tries to call his shot to the championship round.
With near misses and fender-bending crashes.
Fire just seemed like it built way faster, and yeah, I could hardly see.
All paired with the thrill of victory.
I never in a million years thought that I'd be getting my first Bristol win on a tire fiasco.
And the agony of defeat.
Yeah, obviously really wanted that one. You can only ask for shots.
We will be your daily dose of NASCAR's top stories.
And the latest from the garage.
Yeah, we want to win races and contend for championships.
And giving you our opinions and hot takes on the current state of the sport. Tune in weekdays for more of PRN's Garage Pass.
Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Our Toyota Performance Report brought to you by Toyota. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Alexis is laughing at me because I read that upside down.
A man of many talents.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Well, they changed the slogan after.
Yeah.
X number
you had
of
it. You had it memorized.
Yeah, now.
And then they went and switched it up on you.
And I've got my cheat sheet here upside down. It was a good day for Toyota, by the way. Tyler Reddick won again, three in a row. Finishing third was Christopher Bell. Nice run for Ty Gibbs. He turned what had been a poor start to the season around with a fourth-place run. Denny Hamlin was top 10. Bubba Wallace, 11th. 17th, John Hunter Nemechek. Riley Herbst, 23rd. Erik Jones, ooh, oy vey. He's had a hard start to the season. He was 34th. 37th was Chase Briscoe. And that is your Toyota Performance Report. Alexis, we'll start with you. Are we on the verge of the big three, which we talk about ad nauseum on here? Hendrick, Gibbs, and Penske. Has 23-11 crept into their space a little bit?
Look, it's a long season, okay? And I certainly can understand where some people might make a case. I mean, you have a team that has gone out and done the hardest thing 3 weeks in a row. It is so hard. I mean, Kyle, it's so hard to win these races. It is hard to do, and they've done it 3 weeks in a row. So that has got to give them some credit in that, you know, big three, big four conversation, I think. But you're talking about legacies of teams in Hendrick and in Penske and in Gibbs that have been around for decades. And their body of work is much longer and much more vast than what 2311's mm-hmm. body of work is. So how do you compare those? I don't know. You talk about maybe what's happening in the moment only. And if that's the case, then what's happening in the moment? Yeah, I'd say they can be considered for that. But it depends on how you internalize that and you think about what you consider to be a big team in this sport that we all know and love.
I got to go back in time. So we have to go back a little bit of history. Is the Chevy team, and the Chevy team of note was Junior Johnson with Cale Yarborough and Darrell Waltrip. And then along comes Childress and Earnhardt, and they kind of take that away. They become the Chevy team. And then eventually Rick comes along and becomes the Chevy team. The Chevy team. If we look at Ford, we go back to the Wood brothers and back to Homan and Moody. And that's changed. And then it was Roush. And then it was Robert Yates. And Penske, at the turn of this century, was a Dodge guy. He was a Dodge guy. Now he's the Ford guy. So we see that that's changed hands. Toyota has pretty much stayed true blue to one organization and since the time they've been here. Now, I give this history lesson to say, as we go back in time, there's only ever been one team per manufacturer. Sorry, I'm beating on the desk again. One team per manufacturer. So just as Tyler Reddick has won three races in a row and it's never been done before, for 2311 to ascend to that level, then Toyota is going to have to do something in the sport that no other manufacturer has ever done before. Share top billing with two different teams, because no manufacturer has done that. No manufacturer. Go back in the history of the sport. No manufacturer has given Junior Johnson and Richard Childress exactly the same stuff, has given Jack Roush and Roger Penske exactly the same stuff. And that's where you're going to have to get for them to ascend there.
Has there ever been that connection, though?
You've never...
That these two teams have, and that's Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
There's one
that makes no difference.
Listen, well, I'm just saying, though.
Let me just say this. We live in a sport where connections are nice, but cash is better.
Well, sure.
Okay? Yeah. So that's where I'm going to go.
Cash is king.
Cash is king. That's where we're going to go. So my point is, right now, a lot of my understanding, and I'm just going to say, a lot of the technical support and a lot of the stuff they get is funneled through Gibbs to them, okay? It's because Gibbs is the funnel to legacy. Gibbs is the funnel to every other Toyota team that we talk about on the Toyota Report. That's the funnel. That's where everything comes through. So for these guys to be a top-tier team, they're going to have to create their own portal and not share all that stuff with another team. Because if you're sharing it with another team, you're just a satellite of that. So we could say, in a roundabout way, that no, Gibbs, they're not going to ascend to four. Gibbs is just going to have seven teams.
You know what I
mean? So we can say that. I mean, and Toyota is just going to have, but they'll have to do something that they've never done before.
But this could be that opportunity. You talked about a portal, because there are some cracks at Gibbs.
Most definitely.
We're seeing all of this being played out here with their competition manager leaving and the little fractional civil war that's going on there. Denny Hamlin's at the end of his career.
Yeah.
One or two more years, and Denny's off to become full-time car owner. You've got other commodities there that are not 100% baked. Christopher Bell is a legit
There's
player.
A lot of outside forces.
But there's
that are,
so many other unanswered questions
agreed.
That have to Gibbs right now that this could be that moment.
Yep. So, I mean, what were the catalysts at the time in your history lesson to make those
model changes? Model changes in the business is what I mean by that. The business went from, if we go back to the 60s and the 70s, you had the Wood Brothers and Petty Enterprises and Junior Johnson and Bud Moore. You had those things. As we rolled into the 80s, we ended up with Roush. We ended up with Hendrick. We ended up with organizations, bigger organizations. So that model changed. Now we've seen this model change, whether it's through the lawsuit or whatever, the next gen car. This car has changed the model and the way we race. We race with engineers. Now, we didn't do that in the 80s and 90s. So it's another shift in the direction of the sport, and it's another model change in the business of the sport. And again, I said relationships, it's all cash. It's a business. It is a business from the time they throw the checkered flag, and it's a business, until they get back to the racetrack and they throw the green flag. Then it's a sport, green to checkered. It's only a sport for a very short period of time, but it's a business. And the business model is evolving and is changing. And just as I believe, just as Doug just said, with everything that has happened to the family at Gibbs, with the loss of two sons, with the loss in leadership, with the loss of direction in some ways, and we're hearing it kind of seep out right now, is this time for Toyota to shift and move in a different direction? And it could be, because we saw Chevy do it. We saw Ford do it. We've seen every other manufacturer do it. It's not above a manufacturer changing allegiances and going in a different direction. But I've just never seen it in the sport where one manufacturer had two top-tier teams.
Coming up, was the moon landing fake?
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When NASCAR hits Dover Motor Speedway, get ready for all-star intensity at the Monster Mile, May 15th through 17th. See the sport's biggest names battle it out. It's more than a race, concerts, autograph sessions, tailgates, and nonstop action all weekend long. Experience NASCAR the way it's meant to be, live and in person at Dover. Get your tickets now at DoverMotorSpeedway.com. That's DoverMotorSpeedway.com.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Fast Talk, thanks a lot. By the way, salute to all the PRN staffers that put on a great show down at Circuit of the Americas. That is a challenging racetrack to have to call the action on. They did a magnificent job. Listen to most of the broadcast this past weekend. Now we're going to move over to a different chapter here. There are lots of conspiracy theories that exist on the planet. My favorite I didn't even tell you guys I was going to bring this one up. Are the contrails in the sky?
Okay, yeah.
Airplanes? Okay, what is this?
Yeah.
Well, they are seeding the air so we don't repopulate.
No
I
way.
Don't know who they
It's not
is.
Working. We're repopulating every
no
day.
No way.
Yeah.
So I have not heard that.
Yeah, that's look up just for fun one day. Look up contrails.
Contrails.
And
I will
just,
now.
It just goes nuts.
I may be it out in the parking nuts. Lot looking it up as soon as this is over with.
You're gonna go outside, you're gonna look up in the air and go, contrails. I'm really worried about that. Was the moon landing fake? There are a lot of people that believe that was done on a Hollywood set.
And
they believe it.
I believe in it.
Well, there are different imaginations to the JFK assassination.
Yep.
I've been down to the school book depository in Dallas two or three times.
I was with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's cool.
And it's easy to buy into all of them.
Uh-huh.
You know, the 12 bullet theory, the magic bullet, FBI, the Cubans, the mafia. It's fascinating stuff. And to this day, nobody has the right answer. And the Flat Earth Society.
Yep.
A lot of people believe.
It goes way back.
Yeah.
Way back.
Where do you stand on Bigfoot, Alexis? Sasquatch?
Yes, where do you stand on Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Make some good jerky.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does make some good jerky. That's true. I don't know. That's a weird question to ask, but sure. I mean, I'm sure there's a Bigfoot out there somewhere.
Listen, I'm
Sasquatch.
I'm a firm believer. There's got it. That when you read
monster.
Stuff where scientists find what? It's 500 or 1,000 new species in the rainforest or different places every day. So there's got to be things out there that we don't know about. And that's all I'm going to say.
Very true. What about aliens? Do you believe that we're the... I mean, I think it's a little bit naive to think we're the only...
I think a lot of people
beings.
Believe Tyler Reddick is an alien right now.
Well, Grayson right now. No,
people are wondering where this is
going,
by the way.
I think that there are other beings. I don't think that they've gotten here yet, because if they did, they wouldn't just... land out in the Mojave.
Yeah.
They would.
I know. That's the best part. They always land in a trailer park or in the desert.
Right.
One or the other.
They never
land at Graceland.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, hey, there's some good music coming out of here. I'm going to land over here. You know what I mean? I mean, give it to me.
By the way, there is a new series on Hulu. It's in its second year, and a lot of it's based in
Paradise.
In Graceland.
It's amazing.
No,
really, really
I love
good
it
show.
So okay. much. Please watch it.
The reason that we're talking about conspiracy theories and... We chatted with our buddy Brad Gilley last night. He was hosting the post-race show on Sirius from Circuit of the Americas. Immediately, there is this onslaught of people proclaiming that the fix is in because NASCAR said, listen, settle the lawsuit and you can win all the races.
Yeah.
And people are running with that. Kyle, you've been around this game a while.
Long time.
How?
So I could
the
tell.
The difficulty factor in pulling something like that off.
So if the sanctioning body in any sport, baseball, basketball, it doesn't make any difference, said, okay, we're going to let you go out and win. That's one thing. In racing, it's something totally different, because there must be hundreds of thousands of individual parts in that car that are put together by hundreds of guys and women all over the world that come together in a hub, that come together in a spindle, that come together in a bearing, that come together like this. And you're saying, I'm going to tell you, Doug, hey, if you do this, this race is yours. All you got to do. But you can't guarantee that the driver's going to do what he's supposed to do. The parts are going to do what they're supposed to do. The pit crew's going to do. You have to include thousands of people in this conspiracy. And then when it's over with, you have to go around and get rid of all those thousands of people.
You have the men in black.
Yeah, you have to do the memory eraser. The memory eraser. And
erase it.
There's just no way to fix this stuff, because there's too many moving parts. It's not a guy who just pulls up short on a three and bricks it off the rim and they win the game or lose the game or whatever. It's not a guy who pulls a pitch. It's not a guy who misses a tackle or something. It's not there. You've got to look at the car individually, and there is no way to fix a car to make sure that it is bulletproof 100%. So the 100%, the fix can't be in. That's just me.
I agree. I mean, I think there's no way logistically you could pull it off and then be able to do it in a way where it never leaks.
Yeah.
Where you don't ever see any.
Yeah, that's.
That's the incredible thing. If three people know something, it's not a secret. Yeah.
Right.
True.
So to pull this off, I think it's kind of fun to read it in the social media platforms, and I kind of chuckle at it, but you cannot give this any merit at all.
No.
I always look at things like this, especially stuff like when you look at a driver and you look at a team. A lot of this is fueled by that he's not my favorite driver. He's not my favorite team. Mm-hmm. I'm a little jealous that they're doing this. I'm just, you know, there's so many reasons. There's not, why do we care? I mean, he's won three races. I mean.
So one of the things I was thinking about is like, how many races does Tyler Reddick need to win now for people to start hating him? Because that's what happens.
Yeah. It's closing in.
That's what happens.
Yes.
You win a bunch of races, you get hot, you start, and at first people are like, oh, wow, but that's awesome. Good job. And then they're like, no, stop doing that.
Yeah,
don't do that anymore.
But I want to say, I heard another interview with Tyler last night or something, maybe late last night, and he said something that endears him to people. And I'm going to say this. He said he was at the Hall of Fame ceremonies. Did you hear this interview?
I did not.
He said he was at the Hall of Fame ceremonies and that he saw Harry Gant inducted and Kurt Busch, you know, because he was there for 2311, saw Kurt Busch and Ray Hendrick, and he said, and I was just sat there and mesmerized. Basically, he said, I was mesmerized by Harry's story of winning those races in a row. And you know, Mr. September, whatever.
Won four in a row.
Four in a row. And he said, I thought, how amazing is that? Here stands a guy going in the Hall of Fame who won four races in a row, and nobody's done. And he brought that back up, you know what I mean? Which I looked at Tyler totally different after that comment to think, man, he was at the Hall of Fame, and he appreciates a little bit of the history of the sport, and that's cool. And now he's making history.
And I think the last time somebody won four in a row was Jimmy Johnson.
Most likely.
I think David Styles told me that before we went on the show.
I think anytime when you look at anything in a row, you just go to Jimmy first. Let's just go to Jimmy
default.
First and check. Yes, default.
It's just default there. So anyway, had a little bit of fun with that. Don't buy into this.
Yes, please don't.
The other practical part of this is if a sanctioning body ever did that and the word got out, okay, we fixed it so somebody could win, then you're done.
Well, first of all your partners are going to leave.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are done and you return to dust. So I just don't see that happening. It is fun to speculate. As far as Bigfoot is concerned, I'm on the fence. I really am. I've seen a lot of scary people up in the mountains in North Carolina.
I've seen a lot.
Some of them are only one or two pieces, strands of DNA away from being a Sasquatch.
Oh, my goodness. I've been to racetracks and seen Bigfoot before, so I believe in it.
There used to be a guy that dressed up like Bigfoot outside of Pocono, didn't
he? Yeah, remember that? So you stand outside at the end there when you made the turn to come into the racetrack, wore a deer hat on top of his. And, you know, it's complicated. It's a hat.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome. That's true. That's way back.
Bring back the guy with the antlers.
Yeah, that's the way back machine right there.
All right. Coming up, early season problems, some fairly big names. We'll chat about that.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150, 800-396-0150, 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Fast Talk, PRN, Performance Racing Network. Alexis Erickson, Kyle Petty, I'm Doug Rice. Glad to be with you. The season is just barely getting started, and we've documented the great run by 2311. They are first and second in points, by the way. Let's give Bubba Wallace a little bit of love.
Yeah.
He's probably feeling
some type of way at the moment that his teammate has won three in a row. And I mean, he's still having a good start, but he's probably like, hey, can I...
He's the only guy that can run within 10 spots of his teammate week in and week out.
Right.
I mean, you talked about the graph that you saw earlier, that it's not a bell curve.
No, it's not a bell curve. There's a solid floor, which is Alex Bowman, that goes off that direction.
Yeah.
And then there's the solid top of Tyler Reddick, which goes off in the opposite direction just as far. It's crazy.
All right, for every action, equal and opposite reaction. We always get back to physics on this show.
Yes.
Three races in, not a great start for Ross Chastain, who, by the way, does a great job of filling in and doing color on Performance Racing Network, as well as Daniel Suarez.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Daniel Suarez is a great story, and I loved hearing him on the O'Reilly broadcast. But Ross Chastain is 20th after the first three races. Kyle Busch, 22nd. Denny Hamlin, should we be worried here, Alexis? He's 23rd. Or was it too early and it was just bad luck in the first two races?
Well, I mean, you could certainly look at 23rd and 24th. His teammate Christopher Bell's in 24th right behind him. Yeah. And I think they're drivers that I'm not as worried about. And you'd say, well, that, you know, they're in the same hole as, you know, the people around them. And you're talking about Riley Herbst and Kyle Busch and Stenhouse and Briscoe. I just feel like Denny Hamlin and Christopher Bell are these drivers, as Kyle mentioned, that can go out and win any week. And so because they can do that and they have the confidence and the luxury in knowing that the equipment that they're in is good and that their team is good, I think being in this position right now is probably not panicking them too much, where there are some other people down this list who are maybe already only 3 weeks into the season a little bit panicked.
I think 3 weeks into the season, we talked about this a moment ago, about where Joe Gibbs Racing is. Ty Gibbs is their top points driver, and he is in 17th right now. Denny Hamlin in 23rd, Christopher Bell in 24th, Chase Briscoe in 27th.
He did not need that failure yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't. But I agree with Alexis. Hey, when I look at this, and I look at Denny, and I look at and I'm just going to use the three that are below. I'm going to look at Denny and Christopher and Briscoe. They've run up front and led races.
Yeah.
They've been there. Now, Ty has not really been there. Ty had a good day yesterday, but Ty's not really been there. These guys have been there. And if I'm in a hole and I got to dig my way out, I want to make sure I have the proper tools to dig my way out. These guys have the tools to dig their way out. Some of these other guys are in a hole and have no tools. They're going to be stuck in that hole for the rest of the year. And it's already deep three races in.
Yep, the Riley Herbst, Stenhouse, Josh Berry, Cole Custer, Gilliland. I'll put Cindric in there.
Yes,
we've not
sure.
seen anything from Austin Cindric this year that makes us think he's going to be excellent above the curve. Connor Zilich, you get a pass. You're a rookie.
But I'm going to give one of my winners yesterday was Connor Zilich, because I think so hyped, so many expectations. He's run decent the first couple of races, just kind of been there, done what he needed to do. And I felt like going into yesterday, really all he needed to do was have a solid day. I think he passed more cars than anybody else yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to, from the back to the front, from the back to... And even when he got spun, I want you to go back and look at that video. He's like, okay, I'm going into the first corner, and I'm going way out here so that I don't get hit. And they just piled up under him, and he was the last man hit and ended up around. Still worked his way back to 13th or 14th, which was phenomenal after spinning again. So I thought he had a really solid day for a rookie in this car at this place.
After three races, and I know the sample size is small, but you have to start looking at it because the swings of point standings will get smaller as each race goes on. You can have a great win, a great day right now, and move up or down 10 spots. Next week, that's going to be 8 spots. And then after that, the swings from having a good points day will be much smaller, and it'll be incremental. Austin Dillon's 34th. Eric Jones is 35th. Alex Bowman is 36th. Out of those three, Alexis, I'll start with you. Who's going to be the highest ranked at the end of the year? Right now, after three races, it's Dillon, Jones, and Bowman, 34th, 35th, 36th.
Well, my gut immediately says Bowman. And that's because he is with one of the big three in Hendrick Motorsports. Now, we don't know. He got out of the car yesterday. We don't know exactly the circumstances surrounding that. So that's a bit of an unknown to throw into this scenario. But I will go with Alex Bowman just because I feel like having that HMS power and team behind you is worth more than what the other two guys have.
Kyle, thoughts on that?
That's all right. So I would go with Bowman because he's a Hendrick driver. Yep. You know what I mean? You would choose him just because this is a team and an organization that should be able to unload from the truck and run in the top 20 every week. And if you run in the top 20 every week, he's going to move up. Somehow, he's not doing that. You know, and listen, it's not just this year. Let's go back to last year. Let's go back to some of his performance in the past where – 300 cars would be in the top 10, and he would be lucky to be in the top 20. It sounds like I'm picking on him, but I'm just saying, look at the records. That's all I got. He's won races. I'm not saying he can't win races and that he hadn't won races. But I look at Austin and Eric, and I can't differentiate between these two. I think they'll probably climb together or fall together because they're going to have – each one of them are going to have great places like Darlington for Eric – like Richmond for Austin, and then they're going to back that up with a 28th place finish somewhere. And that just seems to be the nature of those teams and those drivers.
I think Austin Dillon can make some strides upward. Like you said, he races at Richmond extremely well. He seems to have some mojo there. He's also pretty good on what used to be plate tracks and those places. So much of that is luck. Don't care what you say. So much of how you get around those places, can you miss the wrecks, plays into that. We'll see. I think Bowman, to your point, Alexis, finishes above these guys simply because you've got the safety net of Hendrick Motorsports underneath you.
Yeah.
And to Kyle's point, they ought to be able to show up every week and run in the top 20 without exception.
Yeah. I think so.
If you're that team... That comes with it. Yeah, they stumbled horribly out of the gate. I mean, he is in last place out of all of the cars that have started all the races so far.
That's not a good place to be.
There's only one way to go. Yeah,
there's only one way.
Only one way to go, and that's to move up the ladder a little bit. Coming up, a little bit of green flag, black flag, and one last thing right here on Fast Talk.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Need a break? A break from the grind? The stress? We have just the place. A place where you can let your inner thrill billy out. Bristol Motor Speedway, April 10th through the 12th for the NASCAR Food City 500 Triple Header Weekend. 3 days, 3 races, 2 night races, 1 epic weekend. Don't just take a break, race to it. Get your tickets, upgrades, and more now at bristolmotorspeedway.com. It's not just a race.
It's Bristol, baby!
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Coming up, we will have our green flag, black flag section. Before we get to that, I did something for the first time in my life 2 weeks ago. I had never been to Chipotle.
Oh, yeah, oh, you told this story.
Yeah, yeah, way.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
A little pricey,
yeah,
but you get a lot of whatever you order,
yeah,
for your little pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it. You can, yeah, make it into two meals.
Yep.
Yep.
But I don't know how I got to this stage of my life. I had never been there before.
Yeah. What made you decide all of a sudden Dougie Fresh is going to,
yeah, that's
I actually
right.
saw a television ad that made it look appetizing.
Oh.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, I can do that. I can do that.
I'm not. See, the only ad I ever see on TV that makes me want to get up off my rear end and get in the car and go eat something is Red Lobster. They make
that
stuff look so flipping good. I just want to go to Red Lobster. I just want to fall face first.
Just want to live there.
I just want to fall face first into it, man.
Was it Red Lobster that almost went broke with all you could eat shrimp?
Probably.
Yeah, I think that didn't Flava Flav or one of them try to bring it back. Who was the one that tried?
It might have been Flava Flav.
Yeah. He started doing some internet stuff and bring them back.
Well, since we're talking about restaurant chains, I was telling David this the other day and I thought it was so funny. So, you know, everybody knows I have a 4-year-old. His name's, yes, Ollie, little boy, and he cannot watch the races now without every time an Arby's commercial comes on, they say Arby's, and he goes, "We have the meats," every time.
No way.
Every time. It is the funniest thing.
Oh my gosh,
in the whole,
I love
so
that.
So now we'll just be random places, and I'll just go, "Ollie, Arby's," and he'll yell, "We have
I love
the
that,
meats."
Man.
That's great.
That's
4 years
great.
Old, he's been,
yes,
indoctrinated.
Yes, he has.
We have the
That's
meats.
It.
He has.
That's it.
I do like the big half-pound Arby's sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, the beef and cheddar is a classic.
Yeah. I'm on Team Arby.
Also, Arby's pays us nothing, but they could if they wanted,
yes,
to.
Yeah. Welcome to Cooking with Doug.
Wink, there wink.
What are you supposed to be bringing me and Alexis?
Your sourdough bread. Sourdough, yeah, bread.
Where is the
listen,
sourdough?
When's my next time? See, here's my problem. I need 3 days before I'm on here.
You got to fix the starter.
That's right. You got to get the starter. I got to get it up and running. Is it 2 weeks?
I'm checking.
Martinsville?
I
think it's after Martinsville. Check my schedule. I will try to get it ready after Martinsville.
We're going to
have
to send a reminder text.
It may be one day old. Will that kill you if it's because I could cook it on like Saturday night or Sunday morning and bring it in Monday. I could do that. I think I can do that.
I love that idea.
Yeah. All right, so we're sourdough bread showing up on the set.
Yes.
At a show to be named later.
Yes, and we're going to put it on camera so you can see how I score it. So you can see
Doug
how
Doug and I are going to taste it on camera.
And
give our give our
score. Can bring in some like oyster stew or something to dip it in.
Uh-huh. You can bring in whatever you want.
By the way,
some from Chipotle.
We saw this popped up on the intranet while we were doing this show that the wonderful act, it's a one person act called Red Panda. is coming to Bristol Motor Speedway for Food City Weekend.
Wow. I want to see her up on the bank.
Well, Red Panda performs on this very high unicycle type thing and flips plates and pots and stuff up onto her head while she's on the unicycle. It's quite remarkable.
Okay, here we are at Ohio State, right? Yep. On the screen here, which is a red school, and she's still wearing blue.
Yeah.
Why, Red Panda, are you wearing blue?
Just adds to the mystery.
It does. But I would be like, my identity, I'm going to go with the red outfit. I'm going to go with a red outfit.
We got a girl
today.
14 feet in the air balancing plates on her toes, and you want to know. We're talking wardrobe.
I will take Red Panda performing at Bristol Motor Speedway over Frisbee catching dogs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. No, she is extremely impressive.
So that's coming to the Food City 500 weekend. Do we have time to squeeze in one or two of
I'm not even sure, but we're going to try.
Well, we can just get rid of one last thing. We don't need that.
Let's do a call.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right. With our panel on unicycles, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to trot out three statements here about NASCAR. Our panel will weigh those statements carefully. If they like it and agree, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, if they're all in agreement. All right, going to start with Alexis Erickson today. SVG sweeps the rest of the road course races.
I'm going to say black flag.
All right.
I think he is clearly one of the best road course racers we have ever seen. But we did see yesterday that he is still human. Obviously, he didn't have a car, I don't think, this weekend. He talked about it throughout the entire weekend, that to his liking fully. And we talked about how many variables go into a weekend and go into a win. And you need to have everything lined up just right. And so could he do it? Sure. Will he do it? I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Kyle Petty.
So I agree. I'm going to say black flag because I'm going to use this. I'm going to mention three things. Mike Tyson, Tiger Wood, and the Patriots. Once these guys got beat, people saw they could be beat.
Yeah.
And they went out and beat them. And the other thing is, he's been here long enough that he's taught the other Cup drivers how to run some road courses. And I think that gap has narrowed.
Doug Rice.
Green flag. I think he has been so good at these other racetracks. He never had that advantage at Circuit of the Americas. Everywhere else, he just waxes people. SVG wins the last three road courses.
Oh, great Panda. I do not understand. Let me ask you this question. I don't understand why he doesn't have that advantage at Circuit of the America, because those are the type courses that he ran supercars on. That's in his wheelhouse. Not a racetrack like Sonoma, where it looks like a guy that was blindfolded just laid out the racetrack on a paving machine. You know what I mean? And it's narrow and it's tight and all that stuff. That's the part that I can't get straight in my head.
I will also go to a point that Alexis made earlier. I don't know that his car this past weekend was where it had been on other races.
All right. Second question, Kyle, we start with you.
Okay.
Stars eventually fall. And not only does Tyler Reddick come back to earth in Phoenix, he does not win again this season.
And black flag. I think he may come to a lower orbit, but he's still going to orbit for the rest of this year. I just think he's still going to hang around, and he's still going to be a guy who can win races and maybe contend for this championship. You never know.
Doug Rice.
It would be so on brand for me to say he won't win again this year, wouldn't it?
It would.
So like, on brand. You're gonna,
no, be bold.
No, he will win another race this year. Yep.
Look at Doug being all charitable.
That was good. That was good.
Alexis, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he will win again this year. I don't think it's going to happen in Phoenix. I don't think he's going to get four in a row, certainly. But I think he will win. And I think his teammate, Bubba Wallace, will win this year. I think 2311 is in a trajectory upward. And we're going to see that play out throughout the rest of the year.
All right, Doug, we got time for a fastball here. Spire gets a win soon.
No. Black flag.
Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to go black flag too. They have had a pretty good, when you look at the point standing, they have had a pretty good start to the season, certainly. But just as, you know, we talked about Reddick coming back down to orbit, I think once we start getting into the bread and butter of of these intermediate tracks, I'm not sure that Spire's going to be.
Yeah, I think
as
they
high
can,
up.
Yeah, Black Flag. I think they continue to be a disruptor, but they're not going to be a team that crosses that line this year and wins a race.
Very good. All right, there we go, Doug. We had time.
I want to be a disruptor. I want to run into a crowd with a cattle prod and zap people.
There we go. I don't know where that came from, but I like the idea.
Would disrupt things.
That would disrupt things. What if we just... I just want to take you out through the fan zone on a golf cart then, if that's what you're going to do. Just start zapping people.
Just zap
people randomly.
As long as you keep going.
I'll keep moving. I promise you.
No,
don't stop.
No, officer, I do not know him. I do not.
I'm kind of short. I would need a very long cattle prod. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll be right back.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive. It's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
The 30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty charity ride.
It's hard to believe that. I can't believe I'm like 39 and we've been doing this 30 years. The idea came about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were riding motorcycles to California, and we had stopped and picked up a couple of guys in Oklahoma City, and then we picked up some people in Globe, Arizona, and we were riding in. It was late at night, and it's like, oh my God, this would be so cool. We'll get people to give us 10 cents a mile. We'll ride. We'll do a bike-a-thon. And I just threw it out in the garage here. Dick Brooks rode with us that first year. Robert Yates rode with us. Cindy Sissons rode with us. Man, we had so many people. They read about it, and they called us up and said they wanted to go on a ride, and we were like, come on down. Had 10 Hall of Famers that have ridden with us through the years. It is like a traveling show for the NASCAR Hall of Fame to go across country sometime, but it has been really good. We heard of a couple of different hospitals and a couple of different kids that were race fans, and we were thought, hey, we'll just stop and make a donation to help their families pay their bills. And that's what we did. It's all for camp now. It's all for Victory Junction.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. Thanks so much for indulging us on this show. We like to have a little bit of fun. We like to bring a little bit of different wrinkle. I'm sure that 30-some years ago when we started this with Benny Parsons, it's not how he imagined it. I'm sorry, Benny, but we love your legacy, and we do our best here. And big thanks to David Stiles and Kent Bernhardt, who produced this show Behind the Glass each and every week. It's cliche, but we could not do it without them, and we really, really appreciate them. We don't have time for one last thing.
I know you're disappointed.
No. I know Alexis is crushed by that because she puts so much time and effort into that. But we do have time to get your picks for Phoenix this coming week.
Ooh.
Does it go 4 in a row?
Can I go first?
Tyler,
yeah, you go.
Go first.
Ryan Blaney. I think Penske is going to show us a little bit more of what they have when we get to these type of racetracks that they've been traditionally good at, and obviously Penske has been really good at Phoenix.
All right.
I'm going to say Tyler Reddick, because I never thought that Jimmy wouldn't get 5 in a row, and I was wrong there, so I want to go ahead of the curve here and say, okay, Tyler Reddick.
I think Kyle Larson wakes up from his year-long slumber.
And it has been a year.
Yeah, it has been. He's been napping. Thanks a lot for tuning in to the show. We love you and appreciate you, and we'll be back.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com and by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.